kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, as decreed by Pope Pius XI, 1925, Quas Primas, we will have the last Sunday of October. It's the Feast of Christ the King. And we are to make an act of consecration of the human race to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And recite the Litany, the Sacred Heart. And we'll have a procession of the Blessed Sacrament as well. So a public procession in the streets to proclaim Christ's kingship. So the procession will begin immediately after Mass. November 1st, which is first Friday this year, Mass will be here at 5 p.m. That, of course, will be the Mass of All Saints. Then November 2nd, we'll have two Masses here in the morning because of the it's All Souls Day on All Souls and Christmas. Each priest is allowed to say three Masses, so I'll say two of them here and then one in the evening back in Louisiana. So the first Mass here on November 2nd for Saturday will be 7:30 in the morning, and then the night one at 9 o'clock after confessions. November 3rd, the following Sunday, so next Sunday, benediction after Mass, and then the All Saints Day party. Finally, if you want to submit a list of names of your dear departed, we will keep them on the altar throughout the Mass, throughout the month of November, to be remembered in all of the Masses throughout, all of my Masses throughout the month of November, whether I sit in here or elsewhere. The epistle for the Feast of Christ the King is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of every creature. For in him are all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and in him. And he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy, because in him it hath well pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on earth and the things that are in heaven, in Jesus Christ our Lord. We stand for the gospel, taken from St. John, chapter 18. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others told it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief of priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this came I into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." So the words of today's Holy Gospel, please receive. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption through his blood. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, this feast of Christ the King is not a day to make Jesus our King, but rather a day to recognize publicly that he already is. If heretofore in our own lives and in the public sphere he has not received the honor and respect and obedience that is due to his kingship, he is nonetheless king for that. Pius XI, in the founding document of this feast, 1925, so next year will be the 100th Feast of Christ the King. Names list three titles to Christ's kingship. One by his essence, one by his incarnation, and one by conquest. First of all, he is king because he is God. He is the Son of the Eternal Father, one in being with him. In his person, he is divine. And the Creator obviously has authority over his creation, having made it for his own ends, or let's say, one who makes the thing has to design it, has to have an end in mind before he can make it, and has some authority over it. Obviously, the Creator has power, the ultimate Creator has all power over his creation. Secondly, he is king because he is God incarnate. As man, he is king, because united hypostatically to the Word of God. He is the most excellent of the sons of men, the most capable of ruling, the most wise, and the son of a king, the son of David. And having been born under the title King of the Jews, and died as well. That's what that I-N-R-I, the top bar crucifixes, means. Jesus Nazarenus, Rex Judeor. He is king because he is hypostatically united to the Word of God. Finally, he is king by conquest. We were redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb unspotted and undefiled. St. Paul pointed out in the epistle today that we have been translated. He has bought us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us by his sacrifice into the kingdom of light, into his own kingdom. And having bought us, having paid for us, we belong to him, and the kingship is his then by right of conquest. This kingship of Christ should not be such a foreign idea as it is. It was not always so. All peoples, up until the French Revolution, so up to a couple of hundred years ago, everyone recognized that authority is something God-given. Even the pagans had an idea that the kings had to answer to a god above them, unless they were gods themselves, as the Roman emperors claimed. But the idea of authority being connected to God, being under God, but is something very natural. Something everyone should understand intuitively. It's only in recent times that men have been proud enough to try to exclude God from the social order, to claim that we give our authority, we the people, delegate authority, give our own authority by consent to a ruler, and that his authority comes from underneath, that we have made him, and we can take away his authority and give it to someone else. But it is not so. Authority always comes from above. Authority comes from God, which our Lord pointed out to Pontius Pilate. You would have no authority over me except it came to you from above. So, our Lord Jesus Christ, kingship is not something we can give to him. It's not something, when we go on this procession today, it's not to delegate him as our king. He is king already. It belongs to him. We merely acknowledge the fact. We show our submission. This kingship, it's only mentioned in one feast throughout the year. Well, I guess again in Holy Thursday. Sorry, on Palm Sunday. But I think it's underappreciated for the amount of times it's mentioned in the sacred scriptures. The kingship is talked about in the Psalms, talked about in Isaiah. What we quote at Christmas mentions the kingship. Our child is born to us and a son given to us, and the government is upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, God Almighty, Father of the world to come, the Prince of Peace. His empire shall be multiplied, and there shall be no end of peace. And he shall sit upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and strengthen it with judgment and justice from henceforth and forever. St. Gabriel, when he announced to the Blessed Virgin, announced the kingship. For he shall sit on the throne of David his father, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. When the Magi came looking for him, they asked, "Where is he who is born the king?" All the innocents were slaughtered in an attempt to snuff out a rival to the kingship of Herod. And throughout his public life, he preached the coming of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And several times the Jews tried to take him by force to make him king. We had in the gospel the conversation between Pilate and our Lord, because the Jews had accused him to Pilate that he had made himself a king, that he set himself in opposition to the Roman Emperor. And then he was crucified under the title King of the Jews in three languages. Not what we normally mean by a king. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is not an earthly kingdom. The Jews, when they took Christ to make him king, when he had to hide himself, it's not because he was not a real king, because he did not want to be their king, but because he did not want to be the king in their way. That is, in the way of all the earthly kings, in the way of King Saul and the King David, in the way of the Roman Emperor, to have a kingdom of this world. fact, this is why he was crucified. It's because he insisted on a different kind of kingdom. He did not want to be the Messiah that the Jews wanted. His kingdom did not hold any places of prestige for the leaders, who then turned him over and claimed before Pilate, before the representative of the Roman government, "We have no king but Caesar, because he will not be the kind of king we want." What did the Jews reject? Not merely the spirituality of the kingdom. For this kingdom is real and it exists now. As in opposition to what the modernists would have, that's why in the new calendar, the Feast of Christ the King has been relegated to the last Sunday of the year. It's at the end of the liturgical year because they want to intimate that Christ will only be king, will only come into his kingdom, will only have the rights of a king at the end, on the last day. They say his kingdom is not of this world, therefore it's of the next world. But their reasoning is false. Not of this world does not necessarily mean of the next world. But as is clear from the unwavering magisterium of the church, what has always been taught about his kingship, as well as, you know, two lines later in the same gospel, he says to Pilate, "I am a king." Christ's kingdom is in this world. It exists now. It is not something to come in the next world. It is merely not of this world. It is above it. It is of a different kind, of a higher order, but exists at the same time. Christ's kingdom is a spiritual one, which he told us is within us, but which does exist now and has real consequences now outside of us. It's a higher reality than this earthly kingdom, and more real, not less, because it is spiritual. In the spiritual realm, unlike the material, there are only two kingdoms, that of Christ and that of Satan. That person or group or nation which does not belong to the kingdom of Christ by default belongs to that of Satan, because our first parents handed us over to them, to him, sorry. This is why our Lord says, "He who is not for me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters." Now, certainly he has never been honored as king by the government of our country. But this is not the only country in the world. There have been whole kingdoms, even whole continents, Europe, South America, whose governments based their rule on his law, and which cooperated with and supported his church and rendered him public honor as a government, as a people, as a nation. And this is the ideal for every country, including our own. But when that comes about, will be up to God. It is not something that flesh and blood can accomplish. We must be ready to follow divine providence to bring about such reality when and as we can, when and as he arranges and asks for our cooperation. It will not be done by lobbying or by signs in the yard or by revolution, but by prayer and sacrifice. Lobbying in Parliament, revolution certainly not. But we have power over a certain part of society. We have power over our families, and if we own a business, over our businesses. We can make him king there. We can make him a little more specific, even narrower. We can make him king of our own minds and hearts. And this must be our chief focus. So we have some influence in the government. Use the influence you have, use your vote. But your primary job will be to make him king in your families, your businesses, and your own hearts. How can we go about this? Well, you can, if you have not already consecrated your family or your business to the Sacred Heart, you've not enthroned him in your homes and businesses, you can do that. It's something that is better done the better preparation you make. You can see me about that if you want. I can recommend some reading material. It would take several months, probably, to be ready to make a good, thorough consecration. That is one. On the individual level, our Lord Jesus Christ, when speaking of this kingdom in the Gospel, mentions several things, several conditions for entering in, several conditions, therefore, for being his subject of Christ the King. To be a subject of Christ the King, you must become as a little child. For he says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." It's something to be entered into with humility and simplicity. In this kingdom, his subjects must carry the cross behind him. Remember, James and John asked to sit on either side of him when he came into his kingdom. When you begin to rule on the day of your triumph, say that we may be one on your right and one on your left. And he said, "No, not what you ask. Can you drink of the chalice which I will drink?" "Yes, yes, we can." "Good, and you will. But to be on my right or my left is not up to me, that's up to the Father to decide." How surprised the apostles would have been to know that those places had been reserved for two thieves. But how much more surprised to see the manner in which he would come into his kingdom. His ways are not our ways. This kingdom is like no other. This king is like no other that has ever been or ever will be. This kingdom, declared Pope Pius XI declares, this kingdom demands of its subjects a spirit of detachment from riches and earthly things, and a spirit of gentleness. "Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart." They must hunger and thirst after justice, and more than this, must deny themselves and carry the cross. If we are going to be citizens, subjects of Christ's kingdom, we have to be a little like our king. We have to follow him where he went. shall we be delicate and proud when our king goes before us crowned with thorns? Which of us will desire to have it said of him, thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth in humiliation and disgrace? This is taking imitation quite far. We want to imitate Christ's virtues, of course, but the sufferings. We know there are some saints like that, but this is something to be imitated, is shown, admired, surely, more than imitated. Surely not that, surely not so far. Father, I have my dignity that I must uphold. I have my place in society. I must not allow people to insult me, to slight me with impunity. What will become of my reputation? I have my dignity. I've heard all too many times. Father, we guess we used to get along very well until such and such a day when he offended me or found out that he had told a lie about me behind my back. Nothing is said, no explanation given, but it is to be understood that once an offense has been given, well, then it's over. One cannot be expected to be a friend of such a man as that. I have my dignity. But our king, him whom we claim, whether we follow him or not, him whom we claim as our king, is meek and humble of heart. We follow a crucified God, and we must be ready to endure a little at least. We must not be surprised by some thorns, by some injustice and humiliation. He doesn't ask us to endure bloody outrage at the hands of a whole Roman cohort. He doesn't ask us to be displayed, torn and bleeding, to the howls of a crowd of our enemies, calling for our life. The slights to our honor, such as they have been just that, slight. Can we really insist on having dignity and still claim to be subjects of Christ the King? Ought we not rather to follow him in his bloody footprints? Follow him however far back, by accepting with joy the little things we're asked to make, the little slights to our honor, the little humiliations. It makes us like him a little bit. It is something we can pay back in his own coin. Rather than making a sacrifice of a second cup of coffee, to offer him something that he offered for us, something he himself suffered, surely is worth more. Surely is something we should grasp at, opportunities we should cherish. Not of this world. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.